Sadhana. You can experiment. Arrange the best possible meal for yourself. Get angry with something, curse the whole world, and then eat it. You will see that day how food behaves within you. At the next meal, approach your food with the reverence that the life-making material deserves and eat it. You will now see how it will behave within you. Of course, if you are sensible, you will ignore the first and only do the second. Most people can bring down the quantum of food they're eating to a third and be much more energetic and not lose weight. It is just a question of how much receptivity you have created within yourself. Accordingly, your body receives. If you can do the same amount of work, maintain all the bodily processes with 30% of the food that you eat, that definitely means you are running a much more efficient machine. In a nutshell, the pranic value of all seeds is tremendous because they represent concentrated life. This is quite apart from their enormous nutritional value. What you call a nut is essentially just a seed, and a seed is a wonderful possibility. A seed is the future of a plant's life. A single seed is capable of making the entire earth green. Consequently, consuming anything in seed form can greatly enhance human health on many levels. As far as possible, soak the nuts that you intend to consume in water for 6 to 8 hours, especially if they are dry nuts. All seeds have a certain natural chemical self-protection. Soaking in water will flush out these toxic substances and bring them to the surface, and these can be eliminated by peeling off the skin of the nut. Additionally, soaking them helps lower the concentrated protein content, which sometimes make them difficult to digest. Hell's Kitchen. There is an ongoing debate between the proponents of vegetarianism and non-vegetarianism. I am often asked which is better. Vegetarians are often inclined to act holier than thou, while non-vegetarians often claim they are more robust and fit for the world, given that they are willing to include all the species on the planet in their menu. Great philosophies have evolved based on food choices. In yoga, there is absolutely nothing religious, philosophical, spiritual, or moral about the food we eat. It is only a question of whether the food is compatible with the kind of body that we own. This compatibility depends on various ends. If being big is your biggest aspiration, then certain type of foods have to be consumed. If you want a body that supports a particular level of intelligence, or if you want a body with a certain level of alertness, awareness, and agility, other types of foods must be consumed. If you are not someone who will settle just for health and pleasures of life, but want a body perceptive enough to download the cosmos, you will need to eat in a very different way. Depending on your aspiration, you will accordingly have to manage your diet. Or if your aspirations involve all these dimensions, you will have to find a suitable balance. Keeping aside our personal goals and aspirations, what type of fuel is this body designed for? This is something to which all of us should first pay attention. Modifications, adjustments, adaptations of diet should come later. If it is simply a question of basic survival, eat whatever you want. But once survival is taken care of and there is a choice, it is important that you eat consciously and are not led by the compulsion of the tongue, but by the essential design of your body. In the animal kingdom, you can largely classify animals as herbivores and carnivores. Those that eat vegetable matter are those that consume meat or prey upon other animals. Between these two categories of creatures, there are fundamental differences in the design and construction of their physical systems. Since our focus is food, let us explore the digestive systems of each. The whole alimentary canal is a digestive tract from the lip to the anal outlet. If you travel down this tube, you will find some very fundamental differences between herbivores and carnivores. Consider a few significant ones. For one, you will find the carnivores are capable of only a cutting action in their jaws, but the herbivores are capable of both cutting and grinding actions. We human beings have both cutting and grinding actions. What is the reason for this design difference? Suppose you take a bit of uncooked rice and place it in your mouth for a minute or more, you will notice that it turns sweet. This sweetness is happening because right there in your mouth, carbohydrates are getting converted into sugar, an essential part of the digestive process, by an enzyme called ptyalin, which is in your saliva. Ptyalin is present in the saliva of all herbivores, but not in carnivores. So carnivores just have to cut their food into smaller pieces and swallow it, while herbivores have to chew their food. Mastication involves grinding and then thoroughly mixing the food with the saliva, hence the design modification in the jaw. If mastication happens properly, close to 50% of your digestive process would be finished in the mouth. In other words, the stomach region is expecting partially digested food to efficiently complete the process. In modern life, people are in such a hurry that we gulp our rush hour lunches without the food being properly masticated. The stomach is burdened not only with undigested food, but also with partially destroyed food. Today's kitchens have largely become places where food is efficiently destroyed. Food that is nutritious and full of life is systematically degraded through the cooking process, which depletes its nutritional value and largely obliterates its pranic value, its capacity to be energetically supportive. Next, if you look at the length of the alimentary canal for the herbivores, it is generally about 5 to 6 times the length of their body. In carnivores, it ranges 2 to 3 times the length of their bodies. To put it simply, carnivores have distinctly shorter alimentary canals than herbivores. This difference clearly indicates what type of food each species is supposed to consume. If you eat raw meat, it takes between 70 to 72 hours to pass through your system. Cooked meat takes 50 to 52 hours. Cooked vegetables, 24 to 30 hours. Uncooked vegetables, 12 to 15 hours. Fruits, 1.5 to 3 hours. If you keep raw meat outside for 70 to 72 hours, putrefaction sets in. One small piece of meat can evict you from your home. Putrefaction occurs very rapidly in summertime when the temperature and moisture are conducive. Your stomach is always a tropical place. If meat stays there for up to 72 hours, the level of putrefaction is very high. This essentially means there is excessive bacterial activity and your body must expend a lot of energy to contain the bacterial level, so that it does not cross the line that separates health from ill health. If you visit a friend who is sick in the hospital, you would surely not take him a pizza or a steak. You are most likely to take him fruit. If you happen to be in the wild, what would be the first thing you would eat? Definitely fruit. You remember, even Adam ate an apple, although we know what trouble that got him into. Then would come roots, the killing of an animal, and raising crops. Fruit is the most easily digestible food, and all human beings know this instinctively. Most carnivorous animals do not eat every day, definitely not three times a day. They know the food they eat moves very slowly through their tracts. A tiger is said to eat once every 6 to 8 days. He's agile and prowls when he's hungry, eats a hefty meal of 50 pounds of meat at once, and then generally sleeps or ambles around lazily. A cobra eats 60% of its own body weight in a single meal and eats only once every 12 to 15 days. The pygmies from the Central African region used to hunt elephants, eat their organs and meat raw and drink the blood fresh, and they say they would sleep after this kind of meal for over 40 hours at a stretch. But as lifestyles change and grow more urban and sedentary, it is clear that human beings cannot maintain such a mode of life. You certainly cannot afford this sort of lifestyle. You have to eat every day and rest at specific times because your alimentary canal is similar to that of the herbivores. The protein debate. There is much emphasis laid nowadays on eating protein. It is important to understand that only 3% of our body is composed of protein, and excess protein consumption can cause cancer. Meat runs high in protein. Very small portion of the meat that one consumes can fulfill human protein requirement. The remaining protein, which travels very slowly through the alimentary canal, leads to a variety of problems such as excessive bacterial activity, enhanced sleep quota, increased inertia levels in the body, and decreased cellular regeneration. All of this in turn manifests as a drop in one's sensitivity of perception. It is in this context that meat has been regarded as spiritually unsupportive, because spiritual process is essentially about enhancing one's perception beyond the limitations of the physical. Digestion drama. Another aspect of digestion is that to digest a certain kind of food, the human system produces alkalis, and to digest another kind of food, it generates acid. If you consume a jumble of foods, then stomach grows confused and produces both acids and alkalis, which neutralize each other and make digestive juices lose their edge. Hence, the food remains in the stomach longer than required and weakens our ability to rejuvenate on the cellular level. It also causes what we refer to as tamas or inertia in the energy system, which over a period of time will alter the very quality of who you are and impair the quality of who you could be. Traditionally, in southern India, people took care never to mix certain foods, but today food is no more about well-being of the body but a social affair. People eat out at buffets, and the variety and number of dishes served is considered more important than nourishing the health and life of the body. The question is not about what not to eat, but about how much of what to eat. It is not a moral issue, it is a question of life sense. As you battle city life, you need an agile and working mind, and physical and mental balance, and some of you even have spiritual aspirations, even if it is only once in a while. So every individual must arrive at his or her own balance of diet, not by taking vows, but by observation and awareness. It is important not to turn into a food freak. Food should never become an all-consuming affair. Every creature on the planet knows what to eat and what not to. What is the human problem then? The human problem is not enough attention, but too much information. The yogic science works essentially with the interiority of the human being. Out of its profound understanding of the science of the human mechanism, this science later branched out into various systems, One such outcome was the system of Ayurveda, which is growing increasingly popular once again in modern times. The word Ayur means lifespan, and the word Veda means science or knowledge. So Ayurveda is the science of extending human lifespan. It is a system that uses external plant life and earth elements to promote health and to correct systemic irregularities. Knowledge systems like this were intended to assist those who are incapable of doing the necessary yogic practice to achieve the same ends.